Welcome to the Prime People Podcast, where we cover all things that got us to where we are today, our team building strategies, the marketing and sales tips that we've learned through thousands of transactions, productivity tips, ways to really just hold yourself accountable to accomplishing what you want to accomplish, and all things content creation, personal development, and not to mention we have some of the best guests on the planet.
Someone asked me the question, what would you do if you were starting over again? Like, what would you do differently? And my answer is simple. I would level up as fast as possible. Because I spent a lot of time with the onesies and the twosies and the threesies where, you know, it's okay to start there. But if you stay there, you're going to get caught up with all the madness.
We have a very special treat for you today. Our guest has amassed a real estate portfolio of over 500 units, is an incredibly successful entrepreneur, speaker, and real estate investor, and his background story might shock you. A lot of people get stuck in life, business, and investing thinking somebody else had a head start or somebody else's circumstances put them in a position to succeed. If you've ever doubted yourself or think that I can never get there because of my circumstances, this is the episode that's going to push you over the edge. He's an absolutely beautiful human being. Super inspiring, and I can't wait for you to hear about his foundation. I'm not going to waste any more time. Let's get into it.
So we were having a conversation a couple seconds ago about how social media these days, you know, for a long time, last couple of years, it's really been about putting forth an image of who you are and your perfect self, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think you and I both agree where social media is going is becoming more and more transparent. You know, yeah. Apps like TikTok are really not a place where you can go in front like you can on Instagram, and TikTok's getting a ton of traction because
yes,
of that.
Yes.
And we were having a discussion about how personalities are really starting to shine through, and who you actually are is something that the community is going to start to understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a super passionate guy. You're, you know, a speaker, you're an investor. You do so many different types of things. And I really wanted to introduce you to my audience because we have a lot of mutual friends.
Well, I'm excited. You know, like, we've been friends for a while. So, you know, I want to know your audience.
First time I met you was at one of the summits. We happen to be at an investment summit right now, 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
We're grinding. We're working. We're networking, investing, and everything else. But your style just blew me away, right? Look at the guy.
But you too, my man. I love the shirts, and you always, you know, I was gonna wear a tie today. I was like, you know, and then I saw you with a tie, you know.
Well, you know what? I'm working.
Yeah,
so the
guy
that's working has to kind of present himself with the tie on. The guy with the money is the guy that doesn't have to wear a tie.
Well, you know what? I really love when I met you, and you probably don't remember this, but you were wearing Gary V's.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you had a suit with the Gary V.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he's my type of guy.
Yeah.
You know, so I can tell already, you know, where you, like, I can tell a lot about you by how you carry yourself. And I know that, you know, we would definitely get along, and we started talking, and we hit it off right away.
Brother from another mother. I mean, you real recognize as real in that aspect.
Yeah.
You get drawn to people that are like yourselves, right?
Yeah.
We're both super high energy.
Yeah.
And we gravitate towards people that are like that.
Yeah.
You said, like, if you're a linear thinker, an engineer,
be that.
Yeah.
Yeah, do that. I mean, the issue right now is the audience is getting smarter.
Yeah.
Right? And so you can't lie to your audience.
Nope.
You have to be you, right? And everything else is up here, right? And it's like, if you're afraid to post something, why are you afraid to post it? There's something that you're not being yourself, because when you can be yourself, people can see when you're authentic, you can attract more people than trying to fake it, you know?
And I mean, we're at an investment conference, and you talk about people that are so excited about real estate investing. I want to invest. You know, they may look at you and not know you from the outside and say, well, look at him. He's so put together. He's well-dressed. He's a speaker. He's this. But then they go on TikTok, and they see you doing Martha dump truck in the press with your daughter, and they realize you're a human being.
Yeah.
And you've always been a guy that gives information, right?
Yeah.
So, like, let's go back to the beginning. Like, how did you get here? Where did you grow up? Who is Alfonso?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you the cliff notes because the story is kind of long.
Yeah.
But I came from El Salvador, country in civil war.
Okay.
And so I was in a war. My mom was a political prisoner. And in fact, she was illegally detained. That's another long story. But, you know, immigrated to Canada, 9 years old. I've moved around so many times in my life because of the war, that I had missed a lot of educational opportunities, and they in school, it just wasn't interesting. You know, like, I don't know, you were probably the same way.
I've been there. I do the work, but yeah, like,
I didn't even want to do the work.
If I wasn't excited, you know? Yeah. I wasn't excited. I was the same way.
Right? And I wanted answers. I wanted, like, real answers. Yeah. And I asked real specific questions when I was a kid. You know, I remember being 10 years old and asking a teacher. I said, what's a mortgage? Because I heard this word mortgage. I wanted to know what it was. And she said, a mortgage is something you get when you're older.
That's her answer? Did she know? You know,
I don't think she knew. Or she wasn't prepared for that question.
Yeah.
And so it became obvious to me that I wasn't going to get the answers that I wanted in school. And, you know, I was, you know, I got frustrated and at 15, dropped out of high school.
Yeah.
I had some conflict at home. I also left home. And as a result, I ended up on the streets panhandling and had a lot of dark moments in my life. And, you know, so a lot of people watching this are like, oh, that must be a dark moment for, you know, being 15, homeless. But everybody watching this, including yourself, has had a dark moment. And it's like a situation where you're just like, why me? And it's so easy to look at the outside world and say, you know, it's their fault. You know, and at 15 years old, especially, like, the whole world, who's to blame for all of your issues. And so I had a life-changing moment at 17.
Okay.
Became a father.
Amazing.
Beautiful little girl, Talia.
Biggest blessing.
Anyway, as
a father, especially to a little girl.
Oh, you know, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
Right? One thing I knew, my dad left when I was 2 because of the war.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to repeat that, you know. But obviously, we don't want to promote for 17-year-olds to be having kids, and that's going to solve it, you know, the situation. But that's, you know, I discovered purpose. And I wanted that little girl to be proud of me. And so, 17, went back to school, got a job.
Yes, guy. Yes, guy.
Yeah.
What was the job?
A dishwasher.
Yes, guy.
$5 an hour. $5 an hour, right?
I've been there. Yeah, like, I lugged garbage to restaurants where everybody else was partying, right? Yeah. Like, it's one step.
I didn't have the luxury to quit, right? But when I realized, like, $5 an hour, it's just not going to cut it. Number one, I don't have that many hours in a day, right? And for the majority, I have to go to school, and then I have to go to this job and, you know, work till, like, midnight. And so I started a business. As a necessity, a legal business. I was going to say that because people are already, you know, 17 and people start getting ideas. But I started selling T-shirts and jeans and mixtapes out of my locker in high school.
Love it.
And so I realized really quickly, you know, even my first transaction, you know, a jeans that I bought for $20, I could resell for $60, making a $40 profit. And I said, wow, profit. That's interesting, right? Like, on one side, my market value at that time was $5 an hour. Over here, I can make $40 in a 10-minute transaction. So it was clear to me what my path was going to be. I was going to pursue profit for the rest of my life. And so I graduated at 19 with a vision, a dream to open a business.
Yep.
And everybody's going to say, you're crazy. I did it anyways. And by the time I was 21, that business was across Canada.
Amazing.
And I fell in love with being an entrepreneur. Yeah. Here's the problem. Forgot about my purpose, right? I mean, my whole purpose was to make this little girl proud. But give a 21-year-old all this money, what do you think he's going to do?
He's not going to go out.
He's not going to spend it whatsoever.
It's hard, right? Because, I mean, A, you saw a big shift where you changed from trading time for cash.
Yeah.
For changing opportunity or seeing market forces, right? Yeah. Supply and demand. It's not like you find a secret door.
Yeah.
Like, I can make $60 flipping these jeans to somebody. You just see that, you know, there's people out there that don't want to go source the product. They want you to bring them an opportunity, execute on the opportunity, and you get paid for that. And it's a very different way of thinking of things. But, you know, it would be challenging for anybody because you were a child at 15, let alone in your 20s, in your early 20s. Yeah. I've made lots of mistakes to be given the keys to the kingdom.
And also, there was no background to manage money.
Yeah.
My mom was highly educated, but didn't understand money, couldn't teach me about money, couldn't teach me about business. And so, you know, I was very much a consumer, right? And
so you're spending your money consuming things.
Yeah, you know, I figured out how to make money. I mean, anybody can win the lottery, yeah, right? Keeping the money is where the work is, right? Anybody can make money. Anybody can win the lottery. Yeah. Anybody can work hard at a job and earn X amount of dollars. So but what are you going to do with your money?
And let's pause there for a second, because a lot of people, like we meet people this weekend that are later on in life and they're so scared. They're like, oh, you know, it's so late. I haven't gotten started. These young kids, they got an up on me. I'm like, no. I stopped one on the weekend. I think she was in her maybe 60s.
Yeah.
I said, you got lots of time. Like there's people here that in 2 or 3 years have amassed 90 to 100 doors to beyond.
Yes.
And they've done it. So
yes.
What makes you think that you can't do it other than the narrative that you're giving yourself? So you're this kid consuming and spending all this. At what point did that shift?
So it shifted when you get smacked in the face.
Yeah.
I think it was Mike Tyson that says, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Very true.
And I was irresponsible with the money, 21 years old, spending and just, you know, and the economy, you know, whatever the economy does what it's going to do. And I wasn't prepared. And I was like almost $1 million in debt.
Wow.
And, you know, things were about to get really ugly, almost went bankrupt. But, you know, I met someone that was very influential in my life. I had moved to Miami, and he gave me some really great advice about being an investor and the mindset behind it. And so I decided that I wanted to fight for you know, I wasn't going to go bankrupt. So I had to rebuild my company, sold everything, sold all the trucks and the cars and
the
jewelry.
Yeah,
exactly. And then I started to, and then I said to myself, wait a minute, businesses are vulnerable. Right? Like, I was still in my early 20s, but businesses are very vulnerable to the economy, to someone tweeting, to something happen, someone farting in the other side of the world. The needle goes up and down,
you
right?
You buy bad fish.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you're done. Yeah. And so I needed something that was bulletproof, like I could build beside. And so this is why I chose real estate, in particular apartment buildings, because,
everybody's
got to have somewhere to live. And, you know, it only made sense.
Yeah.
And so I started in my early 20s and I developed a portfolio now across the country.
Can I ask, how big is the portfolio?
We control about 500 doors.
That should give you some inspiration that before, right?
Yeah.
What was the first one and how did that come?
Oh, yeah. So you know, and this is, I was saying this to someone earlier because, you know, we tend to live beneath our potential, right? And so someone asked me the question, what would you do if you were starting over again? Like, what would you do differently? And my answer is simple. I would level up as fast as possible. Because I spent a lot of time with the onesies and the twosies and the threesies where, you know, it's okay to start there. But if you stay there, you're going to get caught up with all the madness of plunging a toilet and this and that. You're working for your tenants.
Same amount of work.
Yeah, yeah.
Very different.
So this is what I did. I said, where do I want to be? Yeah. I want to be here. And so I need to operate as if I already have that right now. So what do I need? I need good people. I need systems.
Yeah.
And so if you have good people and systems, you know, you can scale a business. And even though I started with the onesies and the twosies, you know,
The
infrastructure was there to be able to scale, right? And so I believe that I'm a leader of leaders. I want to nurture leaders within my organization. And this is the only way I'm able to be sitting here with you today, enjoying a nice Saturday afternoon at the Sheraton in Niagara Falls, because my business is running, right?
And you're empowering people. There's a big difference in between hiring people and just giving them a job to do. And it's funny, I've seen people structure different organizations where they don't treat their employees the best.
Right? I don't want employees.
You don't want employees.
I need leaders.
And it's so funny that we're having this conversation because I didn't even know that side of you. Yeah. And Lindsay's off camera. You know, she's somebody that came to us as an investor, as somebody that's super active and everything else. And I don't look at her as somebody that works for Prime. I look at her as somebody I want to empower and give opportunities to just to be part of the family. And people come and people go, but it's really, it's a different beast when you're doing it from.
Well, here's the difference. Right? Here's the difference. An employee checks out at 5, right? They have no interest. There's nothing to compel them to stay any longer to do anything.
Yeah.
So at 6, you get the call you're getting the call.
Pretty much.
So if you are doing the things, you don't have an organization, right? It's a mom and pop, right? Which is, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But if you want freedom, your business should be transferable. Most of the time, people operate real estate businesses as a sideline, yeah. Right? Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do it as a sideline. But when people start to scale is when they create an organization. And with systems, marketing, with social media, you know, all of these elements count, yep. Right? And so if I had employees, no one would care, right? And so I would be the one that I need to oversee everything. I need to control, you know, it's like they talk about the helicopter parents. Yep. There's helicopter leaders, right? Mm-hmm. And so if someone in my organization, which I have 11 companies, but if someone were to, you know, come to me all the time, you're not the right person, yeah. Right? Because I'm going to empower you to make decisions on your own. And I allow people to make mistakes, but learn from them and let's move forward.
And there's a certain amount of grace that you have to extend on those mistakes because you've been through it. But at the same time,
it's an investment.
There's a lost leader, right? Yeah. Because of the time that you take to try and micromanage anything, I've seen the other side of that.
Yeah.
It's a waste of the time because you should be sourcing opportunities and managing the actual organization, right?
Yeah, and so my time is now spent doing the things I love that I'm good at. I'm not good at QuickBooks.
Yeah, neither am I. Thankfully, I have a beautiful wife that manages that entire side of the business, but then she's empowering people under her to give her the freedom to execute on the higher kind of vision side of things. So you amass this portfolio, you know, what was one of the things, again, that people ask you this, you know, what would you have done differently? But what is something tangible in terms of somebody that's getting started that can do that, wants to scale as a first step to building the foundation or building a structure for growth?
Yeah. So number one, invest in yourself, right? I mean, people try to do things without getting the education first. And what happens is, if you're motivated enough, you will achieve success. But there's something powerful in tapping into the experiences of other people, someone that already has walked the walk, and you can mitigate that risk, right? And so, first of all, invest in yourself, personal development, learn how to execute, and then go out and execute. Because, you know, people get caught up in learning too much, getting ready, right? Like, they'll take what I say to heart, and they're like, listen, Alfonso, I read 700 books. Yeah, but what did you do? Nothing.
It means absolutely nothing. Exactly. To just keep educating yourself.
Yeah, you're better off reading one paragraph and taking that paragraph and executing than reading a whole book and doing nothing. And so first is educate yourself, but don't get stuck. Go execute and then execute again. Go back and learn some more. Surround yourself around the right people, right? And so just as much as you have to level up on your investments, you need to level up on the people that you surround yourself around, that you decide that you want to be surrounded by. And so I have to, you know, sometimes I'm reaching for people that are at levels that I'm not there yet, because what can I learn from them, right? And so this is what I would tell anybody. I mean, invest in yourself, execute, go back and invest yourself back into yourself, and surround yourself around the right people.
And on that topic, like, don't be scared to reach out to people that are at a level well above where you're at. You'd be shocked at how willing they are to give. Now, I do want to take a caveat to that and say, give them something of value.
Yeah.
You know,
exchange.
You're at the point now where I'm sure you get a lot of people that reach out and you got to be a little bit more discerning because there are people that once you get to that certain level.
There's two types of people. There's people that are information junkies, but they will never execute. And how do I know? Because I'm willing, I'm open. I want to help people. Someone asked me something. I said, go do this. And then they come back and ask another question.
You're watching.
And they haven't done the first thing, because now they're just seeking more information, more validate. I think they want to validate their moves or whatever. And so you didn't do the first thing. You're not a good student, right? And so what I would say is, like, you know, anybody that you look like a mentor, don't waste their time. Like, ask questions, whatever advice you hear from someone that has the results that you're looking for, not from negative Uncle Billy Bob.
That
right?
Never did anything in life.
Yeah,
don't you why not to do this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, negative Uncle Billy Bob is going to tell you all the reasons why you shouldn't do it. And then you're gonna go talk to someone that has done it, and now you're putting these two people on the same level, yeah. right? The person that has done it can tell you the fastest way to get there, yeah. right? And people skip over it. People tend to skip over the message, and they only tend to wanna hear what they wanna hear, what they're comfortable doing, right? Like, for example, we talk about level up, right? That's the premise of Monopoly. We all played it as kids, right? But we forgot the lesson. Like, you know, we forgot four houses. What do?
Level up.
Buy a hotel, yep. right? Because that's going to give you the most cash flow. Yep. And so people forget that. They just get stuck in what they're comfortable doing. And you can never grow.
It can be stuck in paralysis by analysis. I mean, our good friend Scott McKilvery says people will know the 99 reasons to do something and get stuck on the one reason not to. And I see it, right? Like it's one of those things you give and you give and you give. And I mean, honestly, I believe in abundance. I believe in being an open book. And sometimes people will come back and, it may be a waste of time or,
But I love them. I love them to death because they just don't get it yet. Right.
Yeah. And there will be a light switch that goes off at some point in time or not, but it's one of those things that you don't know unless you're giving. And what you're doing now, people, it's what I love about social media is we can do this, we can put this out here, my audience gets to know you.
Yeah.
They can reach out, they can find you online and everything else and really kind of dig into your story. And you maybe, get your message out to 200 people. If you help one or two people change their lives.
Yeah.
You're in a portion of your life with your legacy,
right? Yeah. Well, that's what I want. Like, when someone's going to Google me, 50 years from now or 100 years from now or 200 years from now, I want them to see all the people that I've helped, right? And I'll go above and beyond because, a purpose will evolve. And, of course, my purpose is always, I want to do this for my family.
Yeah.
But also, I also want to build legacy. Right. I want to help people. I want to change lives. I want to change perspectives. And, I don't know if you know this, but I have a foundation for youth. And so a long time ago, I took this amazing curriculum, financial literacy. We talk about business. We teach, we want to teach kids how to sell. Right. Imagine how powerful if someone would have came to showed you how to sell something in when you were like 12. Where would you be today?
A very different place. I think education component of our lives isn't what it needs to be.
Yeah,
it's been the way it's been. Yeah. That's a separate conversation.
But So it's sales. It's just one day, right? It's business, sales, marketing, and public speaking.
Okay.
The ability to present from stage. Because we're talking about real estate. And the most powerful piece of real estate on this planet is the stage.
Okay.
Because from the stage, people have started wars, people have ended wars, people have inspired nations from the stage. If you are on stage, you will always get the business every single time. What an important gift you can give a young person, the ability to communicate to other people, the ability to share a message. And so that's what we do. So I went to the schools and they're like, no, these kids are not ready for this. It's kind of heavy. And so I said, okay, let me do it on my own. So what we do is we do a workshop, one day workshop. We go to the schools and we say, if you're interested, this is what it is. And it's on a Sunday. And so come. So we do a workshop one day and kids love it.
I mean,
by the end of it, they're talking about assets, return on investments, building businesses, they're public speaking. It's just incredible.
I think people don't give kids credit.
That's our future.
100%.
That is our future.
Nothing bothers me more than just seeing adults being dismissive of children.
I mean,
they are beautifully and wonderfully made. Yeah. I see stuff that comes out of my daughter's mouth, and I just try and pour in, right? I remember getting down on the level of my daughter and saying, daddy tells you these things, not because I'm smarter than you. I'm like, you're actually a lot smarter than daddy. I've just made more mistakes than you, and I don't want you to make the same mistakes I made.
And they can see things.
They do.
Kids can see things that you can't see.
Yep.
One day my daughter asked me, Dad, why are tires black? Why aren't they green, blue, pink, yellow? I said, that's a good question, right? I never thought about it. I mean, you just, car tires, you just assume that they would be black, right? And so just like the observation of children, it's amazing. You never want to take that away. You know what I mean?
Well, when you do, you put them in a box,
yeah,
right? And it really makes a big difference to empower children, to let them know that, you know, the struggles that you faced,
yeah,
you know, climbing the hill, coming down, going yeah back up, it, you can do it. And I think it's going to change things dramatically over the next 15 or 20 years if we think of kids in that mindset versus yeah what we were always told, which is you just sit in the corner, play with your toys, the adults are talking. Well, adults aren't anything but grown up little kids. And half of us don't even know what we're doing yeah anyway.
Well, we messed up the millennials.
We did.
Right? Like, I mean, we're so hard on them, but like we created that.
Yeah, it's madness to me that people are so hard on saying they don't want to work. I'm watching one behind the camera. I was probably one of the most passionate people in videography I've ever met.
Yeah,
he's
yeah
creative, he's talented, yeah, and kind of blows the doors off that type of industry. And if people can't see that in kids, that's their problem, not the kids' problem.
So I believe in adults as well, but I'm also, I want to inspire people,
yeah,
the youth, the families, anyone that will listen, and you know, we just share the message. That's it. You know what I mean? Like,
and let's inspire the adults to reconnect with the kids.
Yeah.
Right? Because you talk about, you know, oh my gosh, the kids are in their phones and technology and everything else. Use this information as a platform to reconnect with the kids and see what they're passionate about and show them what you're passionate about, and share and grow and
yeah
surround yourself with people
yeah
who have the same abundance mindset
yeah
versus closed-mindedness. And I think that's the kind of wrap up that I wanted to put here, is really letting you guys know that anything is possible. What you're doing isn't necessarily the right fit for every person out there or me,
yeah,
but you know, you can accomplish what you set your mind to, and even in very short order.
Yeah.
I want you to go down a rabbit hole. I want you to check out Alfonso's content. If I can get you and your foundation to London, I will make it happen.
Yeah.
And we'll connect on that
yeah
too.
Oh, so basically, you put together 40 kids. I will fly out on my own dime. I will rent a ballroom.
Okay.
I want it to be special for the kids. I don't want to do it in a community center. I want it to be, I want them to feel good with linen and just feel like this is a, we're investing in them, dude, right?
We'll blow the doors off. I'm excited. We're going to talk about that off camera, but
yeah,
I appreciate
yeah
the time.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you as well. Like, I mean, you're doing the same thing, sharing the message.
Yeah.
And that's incredible.
Your family at this point, right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
All right.